Happy Halloween, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of After the Count. It's Jose here. And my God, what a boring ending to Hell in a Cell. I'm sorry, I got Sam Pierce here as my co-host. Come on, are you kidding me?
I liked it. I like Screwjobs more than anybody.
Of course you would like it. I mean, come on. I mean, I predicted Orton to win, but did I want it to happen? No.
We made that prediction last week.
I know we made the prediction, but dude, do you really think I liked the ending? Well, okay.
Obviously not. But I'm a heel guy,
I
love it.
All right, let's get this show on the road here after that embarrassing. So, yeah, we had a crazy week in the WWE, Sam. You know what? I think we're just going to get right to it and kick off with Hell in a Cell. And despite the ending, all right, it wasn't that bad of a pay-per-view.
It was definitely a step up from Battleground
And Night of Champions.
Yeah, of the three, of these three pay-per-views that were headlined by Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, Night of Champions was probably the weakest. With Hell in a Cell, the finale of the Randy Orton Daniel Bryan feud being the strongest.
Layman Dane, go on.
But overall, I think we're seeing the end of the Randy Orton Daniel Bryan feud as we saw this past Monday on Raw. A lot of new storylines being introduced.
Yep.
But let's get started with Hell in a Cell review, shall we?
All right, let's kick this off. Right. So the kickoff show was not too bad. Interesting start here. Damian Sandow and Kofi Kingston. Now, the only reason why that happened was because the original matchup, Axel and Big E, for the Intercontinental Championship was canceled because Axel got hurt somewhere. I don't even know where he got hurt, but I heard of that last minute.
Apparently, it was on Raw. He got an injury the week before on Raw. But they were waiting for a notice from the doctor to see whether or not he could compete. And apparently, it took way more time than they thought to get that notice from the doctor. They didn't know until Saturday or Sunday morning that he wouldn't be able to compete, I heard. Or maybe it was Friday. But it was definitely on the weekend they heard Axel would not be able to compete. And so they totally changed up the kickoff match, and we got Damian Sandow.
I mean, I was looking forward to that. I mean, you and I both said last week on After the Count that we thought that Big E was going to take that Intercontinental Championship there. But, you know, Sandow gets the win, one of the rarest wins we'll ever see from Sandow.
Yeah.
And we'll bring up Sandow later on in the show after what he did on Monday Night Raw.
It was a generic match, Sandow versus Kingston, especially because it was thrown together at the last minute. Mm-hmm. I mean, two great wrestlers, two of my favorite WWE superstars, even Kingston. I can't believe I'm saying this, but he's a great athlete.
He needs a push. I really feel like he needs a push.
They've tried it. They've tried it multiple times. I don't think he's ever more than the mid-card guy.
I see he has potential. I mean, come on. Everybody likes Kofi Kingston. He's a good in-ring ability.
He's over with the crowd, no question.
He's a good in-ring performer. I feel like, you know, they should keep going, keep trying. Because, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just weird. Like, I remember I saw him once in the Elimination Chamber. Only once. And the first time, he got, like, kicked out by Edge.
Yeah.
And then the second time, he actually did a pretty decent job. So I can't complain.
The Rhodes family defended their newly won tag team championship against the Shield and the Usos in that triple threat tag team title match at Hell in a Cell.
You know, I mean, despite after all the matches, we're going to go through them, like, one by one. We have to admit, this probably was one of the better matches, if not the best match of the night.
I think it was match of the night. That's what most other fans are saying. Honestly, the Rhodes family, and I think Cody more so than Goldust, you know, he's a little bit later into his career than Cody Rhodes, obviously. He's lost a little bit of that athleticism. Still a good performer. I think the better of the two is Cody Rhodes. He provides so much excitement in his matches, and that was really reflected in this opening tag team title match at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I mean, the Shield and the Usos, they put up a big fight. I have to agree there. The Usos, you know, it was more like at the end of the match, it was more of, you know, Shield and Rhodes and Shield. But, you know, the Usos, it was a nice mix at the end of it all.
No question. They, you know, like I said in the prediction show, the Usos didn't really have to be in this match. You know, they were kind of added in just because they didn't want a straight rematch from Raw between the Shield and the Rhodes family.
And it probably was a great decision, no doubt about it. I mean, for sure. I mean, they added the excitement to the matchup. It got pretty intense. You know, you think the Usos were going to take it at one point, like, no, and then
I was surprised actually that the Shield took the pinfall. That Seth Rollins took the pinfall in the match, because if the Usos were there, why would you risk the Shield looking bad in that matchup? You know, you could have pinned the Usos. The Shield could have gotten off easy. You know what I mean?
No, but the Usos clearly got off easy. And I mean, I only see it as that just because, you know, to completely end the storyline. Because, you know, I mean, this pay-per-view was a lot about ending storylines.
Although what I've heard is that rumor is there's going to be a four-way tag team title match at Survivor Series. It's not official yet. That's the early rumor going into
at least, you know, pay-per-view. At least there's more time now in between pay-per-views to properly get a good build-up, to properly get a better concrete idea for this. Because, you know, Survivor Series coming up in 3 weeks now. So, and that, if that is true, then all right, that's not too bad. But
well,
you know,
it will be the same three teams, but the real Americans will be added in as the fourth team.
You know what? But I think regardless, still, despite all that, the Shield taking the pin probably was the smartest idea. I mean, you know.
But I thought it was because I also thought that the feud was going to be over. But if the feud isn't over, if the Shield are still going to be vying for control of the tag team division and going after those belts, I mean, I feel like it means so much for them to lose than the Usos. You know, I think it looks so much worse on the Shield to take the pin than it did the Usos. But nonetheless, that was the result we got, and it was the first match of the night and probably the best.
Yeah, to me, I say I'm happy with the Shield taking the pin. I know we got a bit of debate there, but I don't know. For me, I say, you know, it kind of ends that main biggest part that everybody was looking for. Yeah, sure, we'll add the other teams in the mix, but that signified a lot. So I'm going to leave it at
that.
Match. The next match was an impromptu match. Fandango, Summer Rae, and against Kali and Natalya.
Kali getting a lot of pay-per-view time the past 2 months. He teamed up with Santino at Battleground to take on Real Americans.
Yeah.
And ended up getting that huge Cesaro swing, which was awesome.
You know what? We'll get to them.
That was worth the $54.99 of the Battleground pay-per-view.
Oh, come on. Okay. $54.99 for a swing. For $54.99, I could get WWE 2K14. Oh, wait a minute. I did.
Yeah, so did I. We were playing last night.
But this was interesting. I mean, this was Summer Rae's first ever WWE TV appearance, and what a great appearance to be on than a pay-per-view.
Great. Yeah, definitely a big stage to have your debut match on.
And you know what? She was really impressive. She's probably one of the few divas that can actually get in the ring and wrestle compared to others.
Yeah, she's got the look, no question.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure every guy
Lord.
That I've watched wrestling with, they have made some comments about her being extremely attractive.
I'm sorry, but she is just gorgeous.
Yeah, and I mean, I love the Fandango character, even though he hasn't been in anything significant for quite a while.
Who cares?
Now.
We have an excuse to dance when he comes out.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Nobody likes Fandangoing more than me. You know that.
Oh, jeez.
But, it was a bonus impromptu mixed tag team bout. No real story behind it. Fandango and Kali have been feuding for a few weeks on, like, the B shows, you know, like SmackDown and Main Event over the past few weeks.
You know, I have to say, it's really weird to call SmackDown a B show, despite how it was back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
Man.
It's like Main Event's the C show. SmackDown's the B show.
Times change. Oh, my goodness.
I'm glad they gave Summer Rae the pinfall win there. It made her look great.
You know, exactly. And then, you know, she to back that up, she proved herself the next night on Monday Night Raw against Natalya.
Yeah.
And that was a really good match, too.
It was. I'm glad that even though you had another Divas match, you had the Divas title match later on in the show, they made that mixed tag more of a focus on the Divas than they did on Kali and Fandango, which was great. It was a great change of pace. You know, usually you would think mixed tag bout, the men are going to be doing most of the fighting.
Nope.
But you gave Summer Rae her debut match on pay-per-view, and she performed amazingly.
At the same time, though, despite that how good they were, come on. Is Kali really a big guy?
You know
what? I mean, and not big as in tall, but big as in, like, you know, can he actually do stuff? I mean,
he's a terrible wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
I heard
down.
He opened up his own wrestling school, and I was like, why are you teaching people how to wrestle?
That's really ironic.
But nonetheless, it was a nice bonus match that we got. Usually the bonus matches I'm not too excited about, but this one, since Summer Rae got the win, I was pretty happy with that.
Yep.
This
was another impromptu match that came up last minute as well, and this was a pretty big significant one, wasn't it, Sam?
Yeah. Biggie Langston, like we said, was supposed to face Curtis Axel in the kickoff match for the IC belt. Axel was injured, so on the kickoff show, Big E Langston challenged Dean Ambrose for the United States title, and I figured, okay, this match is being thrown together at the last minute. It's not the feud that they wanted. They clearly wanted Big E Langston to feud with Axel and Paul Heyman, So I didn't expect much from this matchup. It was a decent match. Actually, both Ambrose and Big E got quite a gash. Big E Langston collided with Dean Ambrose. Big E got a huge gash under his eye. And Ambrose got one under his chin.
I think so. But the one thing that surprised me the most, and like I said in the episode one, I haven't watched wrestling in such a long time, but the minute that blood came out, the gloves came on.
Yeah, the referee put on the gloves.
And, you know, I'm talking to my friends. We're, like, Skyping throughout the pay-per-view, and I'm like, are those gloves? And, well, they're like, yeah. And I'm like, what the
We heck? Haven't seen that in quite a while. In 2010, they started stopping matches mid-match to close up the cuts. It totally ruined the pacing of the matches. Yeah. The wrestlers were even pissed off, you know? They are performers. They want to perform as good as they can, but because it was PG, WWE felt like they had to stop the blood. You know, if it's an accidental cut, you know, it's pay-per-view. It's not TV. There's different rules.
I mean,
you know?
With TV, you can go to commercial breaks and whatnot, but this, you know, it's on pace. You know, there's never a commercial break in between. So, I mean, I was just surprised to see that, but nonetheless, I mean, Big E put up a heck of a fight. And that was another thing that got me angry about this pay-per-view as well. That had to be one of the most dumbest endings to a title match. I mean, you know.
I expected it because.
I didn't.
You know what? I expected it because this match wasn't planned, you know? So they obviously had no plan for Dean Ambrose till they expected him to hold the belt through Hell in a Cell. He wasn't even supposed to be defending it if Axel wasn't injured, right? So I assume they didn't want to have Axel lose the belt, but they didn't want Ambrose to get pinned in his new face push all of a sudden. So they had to go with the count out.
See, and that's where I thought that he should have won. I mean, like, you know, the IC belt, yeah. And, like, it's funny, like, because normally if you're going to, like, I understand how that was a last-minute thing, right? But it wasn't just any last-minute, you know, match. It was where a belt, a title was on the line.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, with the big face push that he got on SmackDown a couple of weeks ago, and with this all of a sudden impromptu match, I expect, you know what, maybe this is a huge step for Big E and then take advantage of that.
Yeah, I don't know why they're giving so much more privilege to Dean Ambrose rather than Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins of The Shield. Why can't Ambrose lose cleanly if Rollins and Reigns can? I know people say Ambrose is the strongest member of the Shield, but honestly, I find his matches to be the most generic. I don't know if that's the
I have to admit, you know, like the Shield and the
Seth
tag
Rollins
match.
Is the best wrestler of the Seth Shield Rollins, in my opinion.
Romans and Reigns did a much better job in the tag match than Ambrose.
That's
did,
what I thought.
Down.
I found a lot of Ambrose's U.S. title matches to be very boring. Just
and
very.
That's why I would have suspected him a title dropping. You know, it's all generic and whatnot. But you know, if you drop the title, you were able to change face, change direction, get rid of that mindset of that generic that people are saying, like yourself. So I would have liked to see, you know, Big E take that title. Let Ambrose cool off a little bit and just focus more on the Shield and more of the
I mean, the focus single. Isn't on the Shield anymore, obviously, because the Rhodes brothers have the tag belt. So I thought, I mean, I didn't think Ambrose was going to lose the belt here, but if he did, I wouldn't have been disappointed.
All right. Now, the next match on the night was one of the first of two, Hell in a Cell. And, you know, before we go on, I want to give props to the guy who operated the what is that? What is that called?
I don't know, like a lift
The sky lift or something?
No, that man likely does not have a job anymore. They botched that entrance. It would have been so cool.
I'm sorry, but, you know, like, I mean, you know, Punk comes out. I'm like, okay. All right.
Traditional entrance for Punk. Of course, Paul Heyman has to top him, you know?
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm just watching. My friends and I are just like, what is going on? And then I noticed that he couldn't get it going, and you can tell Paul just had the face to say, what are you doing? He was ready to change, and I just kept laughing.
He sold it, though. He stayed professional, and he sold it. The operator of that lift, obviously, there was something wrong with the lift, or he didn't know what he was doing, but it kept stalling, it looked like, and it took him like 10 minutes to get to the ring.
Out of respect to the guy, let's say that the lift was malfunctioned. Who are we kidding? That guy's screwed.
I feel bad.
But anyways, you know, interesting to stop at the top of the cell. Of course, you know, me going again. Now, this is one thing you're going to know about me, I'm going to like to refer to the past, and here's another one. When he goes up to the top, I literally expected something extreme to happen on top of that cell, and I had to be disappointed at that ending.
If it was Ryback who went to the top of the cell, he could have.
Oh,
maybe there could have been
on.
An extreme spot, but I don't think Paul Heyman would have ever agreed to
I totally would have loved to see a fatty go through the cell into the ring. Totally.
Here's the thing. This match was advertised to be a 2-on-1 handicap match.
It wasn't even a 2-on-1.
It was not. I don't know. I mean, you know, wrestling, they have all these kind of special rules and stuff. They don't really enforce anything. But when the match started, Heyman got on top of the cell, and the referee was like, oh, okay, and just closed the door. And CM Punk and Ryback had a one-on-one Hell in a Cell match. And Heyman just, you know, hid from the two guys on top of the Hell in a Cell structure.
And that's why I wanted to see something extreme, you know, to make up for that. Because, you know, a handicap Hell in a Cell, we would have loved to see what would have happened to Heyman.
Well, I assumed that Heyman was at least going to be in the cell, but he was going to hide under the ring or keep running away from Punk. I assumed CM Punk was going to have to get his hands on Ryback first, you know, and then finally after he beat Ryback to get to Paul Heyman. And he did, but it wasn't in a two-on-one handicap match situation.
But you know, at the end of the day, that was pretty interesting. We saw at the top of the cell. The tweets were funny.
Yeah, they
absolutely were. Hilarious. You know, how does CM Punk hide a kendo stick? Or, you know, how does Heyman go to the top? And, you know, and personally for me, going back to my days, and I remember my friends like, no, you're crazy. I would have loved to see Heyman go through the cell onto the ring. Because, you know, at least the ring is a nice cushion.
I would have cried if I saw that.
Cried
that
of laughter
deserves,
or just...
No, of sadness, because Paul Heyman is... the eighth wonder of the world. He deserves so much better than that.
Wow.
I heard he's written off TV, for a while.
Really?
Yeah, that was his exit. Because apparently he's not going to be associated with Ryback anymore. I don't even think Ryback's going to be a Paul Heyman guy after this. They're really down on Ryback.
Mm-hmm. Sam, now the next title match was a World Heavyweight Championship match.
Yeah, Del Rio defending against the returning John Cena. And I think most people expected this to be a clean win for John Cena. People hoped that Damian Sandow was going to cash in. That did not happen, unfortunately.
I was just flat out pissed.
At Hell in a Cell. John Cena got the clean win on Del Rio. And, it's your typical John Cena return match. Clean win, you know, really boost his momentum going forward after returning from injury. They haven't had, like, that big John Cena return moment in a few years, so every once in a while, I guess you got to do it. John Cena becomes the new World Heavyweight Champion in what was a good match. Nothing too special.
It wasn't too bad, I have to say. It wasn't too bad.
Enjoyable.
I feel like if you really want, again, like I said, this was an average pay-per-view. If you really wanted to grasp that pay-per-view moment, you had to let Sandow cash in. And the only reason why I say that, because, you know, an arm injury is really tricky. You know, I understand doctors are saying it wasn't as bad as they thought it was. But you never know. And holding a title on somebody that just recently came back like that, it is a little iffy. At least when Cena came back, I'd say, at the Royal Rumble in 2008, he had enough time between the Royal Rumble and at WrestleMania to prepare himself from his injury.
Yeah.
So I think in this case, it should have been the same. You know, he won the title. Congratulations.
Yeah.
But Sandow's cash-in would have made that night better, and it would have made more sense for Cena to recover properly and not do too much action, because you never know.
Yeah, no question. I know me and a lot of other people would have liked to see that. I'm just sick of Del Rio's world title run, and for once, I'm actually happy
that
Cena won.
You're not the only one. There's a lot of people that don't like Del Rio.
No, I don't mind Del Rio. He's been in the world title picture for like 3 years. There's other guys that you can give that shot to. Keep him as a top heel in the company. That's fine with me. He's just been in the world title picture for way too long. I think there's other guys that deserve a shot, you know?
I miss Ricardo. The next Divas match, the Divas title match, was on the line, AJ and Brie Bella. And this is pretty self-explanatory. AJ won, Brie can't wrestle. Simple.
I actually forgot this match was on the card.
My point exactly.
I was like, all right, Orton versus Bryan, here we go.
And then it was AJ's Divas title. There she is skipping in the ring, and you're like, oh, crap.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy AJ retained. She's at the top of the Divas division, like I said earlier, and she deserves to be champion. There's not really much to say about this match. It was a good, decent Divas match, I guess. Nothing too special. Did what it had to do.
I feel like this is the only match that where every fan in the world are unanimous. I wanted AJ to win. I never, like, my friends said they didn't want.
Well, I think people aren't quite sure what to think of the Bellas, because they were like the top heel divas for a long time, and now they're not quite sure if they're heel or face, you know?
All right. And the last match. Oh,
yeah. Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, Hell in a Cell for the WWE Championship, the finale.
Shawn Michaels in the ring, and like we predicted, for those that didn't believe us, Shawn Michaels screwed Daniel Bryan. Ha!
Sweet chin music right to the skull of Daniel Bryan. It looked like maybe he didn't want to do it. You know, Triple H came out and started arguing with Shawn Michaels. Triple H was saying, hey, HBK, you going to do this or not? But like we called it last week, HBK did indeed deliver that devastating sweet chin music to Daniel Bryan.
It did look like he almost missed it, though, but he got it.
Yeah.
He got it.
There was also that crazy chair spot
E-C-Dub,
where they
E-C-Dub,
stacked all those E-C-Dub, chairs in the middle of the ring,
E-C-Dub.
But somehow managed to miss all of them. They did a suplex and barely caught the edge of one chair. I don't know how they did that.
I loved it how everybody in the arena started chanting E-C-Dub. I was on Skype with my friends, and I said E-C-Dub. My friends were like, shut up. I'm like, no, you don't see this in the WWE.
It was a unique moment. Although I'd like for them to save as many table and chair moments for the upcoming TLC pay-per-view, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a TLC
then it won't be very
pay-per-view.
Special.
So, in conclusion to Hell in a Cell, because we do got to get to Raw, I found it okay.
A WWE mark. You can ask me how I liked ECW December to Dismember.
Oh,
and I will say,
goodness,
that was
gracious.
A very enjoyable pay-per-view, and in fact, I own it on DVD. So, if I thought December to Dismember was a good show, you can imagine how much I loved Hell in a Cell. Because it was a million times better.
And what do you think, guys? You can just tweet us at After the Count.
Yeah, let us know what you thought of WWE Hell in a Cell.
You already got our opinions. We want to hear yours, and we'll see what we can get for next week. Now, Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw.
Night after Hell in a Cell. All the fallout.
You know what? This was a good one. I have to say it was a good one.
Amazing
show. Because, I mean, you know, although Santa didn't cash in at Hell in a Cell, we got the Dolph Ziggler treatment and cashing in the night before. The only problem was
night after.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, did I say night before?
Yeah.
Okay, night after, and Unicorn, of course.
He cashed in at a house show.
Like we predicted, and we said it, he was going to be the second person to unsuccessfully cash in that money in the bank, and he did.
Yeah, I thought they definitely did need to add to the list of people who failed when they cashed in, because Money in the Bank has not become very it's not very exciting anymore, in my opinion, just because it's a guaranteed win. All you anticipate is that music hitting. You're waiting for that music to hit.
Exactly.
But then as soon as it does, you know 99% of the time there's going to be a new champion. I'm glad they added someone else to that list, although I'm a heel guy. Of course I want Sandow to beat John Cena. He's the biggest ignoramus of them all.
You know, I mean, it's not that I'm a heel guy. I just really wanted to see Cena lose. I'm sorry. And at the same time, you know, Sandow, I mean, when he first won Money in the Bank, he was like, Sandow, of all people to win a Money in the Bank, it's Sandow, right? So it would have been unique to see him cash it in and win the thing. But, you know, they you know, and everybody's like, well, he should have been win more matches. It looks like they successfully built him up as a loser.
Yeah, no question. He hasn't won a match in like 3 years, I'm pretty sure. Since his debut. I don't think Sandow's ever won a match. So,
well, you know, he kind of won Hell in a Cell. So
It was a long match, too. It wasn't your typical cash-in where it ended in like 30
seconds.
That's
right.
There was a couple commercial breaks worth of match there.
So that's when, like,
so
you know,
Cena,
what?
Still the World Heavyweight Champion.
So, you know, that was a heck of a fight.
Good way
say.
To start the show, in my opinion.
Shawn
Michaels came out to try and justify his actions at Hell in a Cell. And actually had the nerve to ask Daniel Bryan to accept his apology after screwing Bryan out of the WWE Championship and basically handing it to Randy Orton.
Yeah, you know what? It's like, how would I say this? It's like if a professor gave somebody an A+ and you got a B, and you're like, oh, on purpose, like, I want to accept your apology. You're not gonna say, oh, it's okay. You're gonna be pissed off, like, I want my freaking A+. And that was the case. I mean,
and this is a lot more. There's a lot more on the line here than a simple school mark. WWE we're talking about here.
It was just
cream of the crop.
It was just extremely frustrating to see, you know, the 3 month build up or the 3 pay per view build up. You work so hard, you get the fans going, you got everybody going, and you just crush it within a single match. And it's just,
they want that Daniel Bryan WWE Championship win to be on a show like WrestleMania. That's what they're setting up for.
You think?
Yeah, they're setting up for Bryan to finally overcome everything.
He's
going to have a long journey to his, similar to CM Punk. Once Bryan wins that belt legitimately, he's going to have a really long reign with that belt, similar to CM Punk, I think.
I don't know. Like, it was just odd. It was just really odd. I mean, yes, I predicted Orton to win, but you know, it should have been the belt around his waist. I think it was the entire thing was just, you know, blown out of proportion. Now, what are you going to do for the Survivor Series? Clearly, I guess Orton versus Bryan.
No, I don't think so.
All right,
But Bryan did proceed to put Shawn Michaels in the yes lock as a form of revenge.
All right, let's keep moving on here. The Wyatts all of a sudden go go double on us. They attacked both Daniel Bryan backstage, and then after CM Punk had his match against Ryback, they came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and both times Bray Wyatt said the devil made me do it after he brutally attacked both Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
Sounds a little bit familiar, but I won't go in there.
You know what? Leading into that, Kane.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we forgot to bring that up. I mean, you know, Miz came out asking for the Wyatts, did it right, and he got the Wyatts, and he got somebody else instead, and he got Kane. And we were just, I remember just staring at my screen, I'm like, oh, snap, it's Kane.
Yeah,
it's
he
Kane.
Returned at Hell in a Cell, but it was a totally botched run-in. it looked awful.
Yeah,
I had to, like, close my eyes. That was so bad. I basically forgot it was even on the show because it was just, everything was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we're going through the card here. We have it in our script, and yet we completely forget to add that Kane came
back.
Well,
his main return, this was a lot more significant than his return on Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
He unmasked after he defeated The Miz in a match on Raw. Again? Like, just make up your mind, bro.
You know, I remember like, it's funny, the day he got his mask, it was the day of my birthday in 2011. It was my birthday,
nice.
And I'm just relaxing on my birthday. And then my friend messages me, he's like, Jose, I'm like, what, he's back? I'm like, what the heck is going on? He's like, he got his mask back. I'm like, what? And I just tried to find any internet source. Well, I'm going crazy here. I tried to find any internet source
so
possible. And I saw the mask. I'm like, yes.
It's not taking off the mask that excites me here. It's what he said. He said to Stephanie McMahon, I am the authorities to control. So is he going to become?
You know what? Probably.
He's going to do all the authorities' dirty work, it looks like.
You know, it's an interesting concept here because, you know, I mean, Kane and Daniel Bryan were like tag team champions at one point. You know, it'd be interesting to see if, you know, if like the Bryan Orton feud continues, if it does, rather, because, you know, it kind of stopped yesterday.
Yeah,
and if it is a team team Bryan versus Team Orton at Survivor Series, this is going to be interesting to see if there is one. Not saying that there will be.
Yeah, I think.
It'd be interesting.
What they're potentially setting up for is a Team Wyatt versus Team Punk / Bryan. That's what it looks like.
I don't know. To me, I was going to say, the only reason why I said it was familiar before, because, I mean, if you guys, anybody remember The Ministry back in the late 90s, and they were just creepy. In fact, that was one of the reasons why I didn't want to turn on my TV at the time. I was so freaking scared of The Undertaker surprise, because he did some crazy things.
Remember Midian?
Who doesn't?
Midian was weird. He wasn't even a good wrestler.
I mean,
why is that guy even on the show?
My point.
He was just a regular guy with like an eyeball in the jar. What the hell?
My point is that, you know, the Ministry did all out what they did, and they got in a feud with, you know, the corporate, and eventually became the corporate Ministry. But
oh, so are you saying maybe it's going to be the Wyatts versus the Authority?
The Wyatts versus the Authority of the WWE in this case.
So then Kane will join the Authority and fight the Wyatts.
I don't think so. You know, it was kind of like, I mean, people were saying, oh, he came out after the Wyatts. Maybe the Wyatts are controlling Kane already, right?
So they're just trying to trick the Authority.
Exactly.
Then.
Now, why wouldn't you want a monster, right?
Of course. Yeah, why not?
The Wyatts are already crazy. And if the devil say they made him do it, Kane is probably.
Kane's the devil's favorite demon.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's why I see, you know, the Wyatts coming as a little Ministry kind of storyline. Maybe not as intense as it was back in the day, but I see them trying to control the WWE later on.
Any rehash of an Attitude Era storyline is good in my book.
In my book as well. So that's why the Survivor Series should be really, really interesting as we see in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
There was the fan vote. Punk and Ryback had one more match, which, in my opinion, was a big, you know, why if you ended the feud the night before.
Yeah, there was no real reason for this match.
Although it was an interesting street fight, I have to say.
It was okay.
It wasn't too bad, but the Wyatts came out after that, so I guess that might have been a significant kind of, I guess, you know, it was like the final transition.
Yeah. Ryback looked terrible. I mean, like, I'm a huge Ryback fan, one of, like, three in the world. But they've just been burying Ryback at Battleground, at Hell in a Cell, and Monday's Raw. Although last night on Main Event, he did get a clean win over Kofi Kingston. So
yeah!
Back on the road to redemption for Ryback.
And then there was another interesting tag match, and once again, the tag match stole the show. The Real Americans and the number one contender. Sorry, I'm just reading it off this here.
You know what it is?
The Rhodes Brothers.
It's not the tag match stole the show. It's the Rhodes Brothers. The Rhodes Brothers stole the show. They're the best performers WWE has right now.
And you know what?
Now.
I mean, that was like a unique finish. I mean, normally you see like the traditional get riled up and get the pin and win. That must have happened like about four times in 5 minutes. You know, you get the momentum, kick out. Momentum, kick out. Yeah. And it was just like, oh my goodness, this one's unpredictable. And then Real America took the win.
Yeah.
I like that.
An extremely back and forth match, and extremely unpredictable that the Real Americans won. The Real Americans lost to Los Matadores on Hell in a Cell,
Olé!
But then beat the tag team champions on Raw. So does that mean Real Americans are the number one contenders? It must mean that. And that sounds like the best possible tag team title match you could get right now in WWE.
If you're saying that at the Survivor Series it's a four-way elimination, maybe I'm assuming elimination because the Survivor Series.
That'd be great.
If there is a that kind of matchup at Survivor Series with the Usos, the Shield, and the Road, the Real Americans are clearly the favorites to get in there.
Yeah, if they beat the champions, well, so what order does the elimination go then? Does it go Usos, Shield, and then Americans and Rhodes Brothers are final too? It must.
Americans and Rhodes Brothers, that'd be interesting. But of course, at the end of the day, we, the people. And
Big Show.
Yeah, I mean...
He's back. He wasn't on Hell in a Cell, which I was really surprised, actually.
You know what? I mean, how many people predicted? I remember, like, my friends and I were making, like, a point system, and we said, you know, 5 points says that the Big Show's going to crash. And he didn't even crash at all.
No, he wasn't even there. He didn't even show his face. But he did crash Randy Orton's WWE title celebration on Monday Night Raw.
And at least this time his music played, as in, you know, he's not coming out of nowhere.
No, but it doesn't make sense because he's fired. Like, he does not even in the company, so who's queuing up his music? And his graphics, you know? Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Wait, what, are we doing this? Okay, play.
The reason for that is apparently Big Show still has friends in the company who don't agree with the authorities' ways.
Amigos.
Over the past few months.
And, you know, there was an interview on the JBL and Cole podcast, and apparently Triple H stated he's banned from the WWE.
For life. Was that too loud? I'm sorry.
Easy with the sound. Easy.
I just like NWO references.
Look at those sound. Look at those sound levels.
I'm so excited. I can't help myself.
I know. But
anyway, it looked like Big Show is either going to get a shot at Randy Orton's WWE title or get his hands on Triple H, because Triple H looks like he's aggravated enough that he would sacrifice himself and get in the ring with Big Show.
It has to be Triple H. I mean, come on. Do you really see Orton and Big Show? I mean, throughout this entire thing since he came back, Big Show was, you know, in that small feud with Stephanie, right? And then he went to the Big Show and then back to Stephanie. Why would Orton be the guy for the...
Well, it depends how long they want. I assume they want the finale to be Big Show Triple H. But when do they want that to happen? Survivor Series is in 3 weeks. But then you have TLC, and then you're at another one in the Big Four Royal Rumble. There's another Big Four just around the corner.
I'll be honest with you, TLC has to be like the worst concept of a pay-per-view. It doesn't
I hate the gimmick shows.
It doesn't make any sense.
Why would
you
have Extreme Rules and TLC? Because then you have ladder matches and table matches at Extreme Rules sometimes anyway.
But
so
the next thing you know, you got them in December. But, I mean, you know, this is why Survivor Series has to be somewhat planned carefully, because TLC is... I would say, like my friends have said, a buffer pay-per-view.
Yeah,
before
it's
the
typically
Royal Rumble.
A throwaway show. Historically, it's been a very entertaining show, no question. Last year's TLC was a great show, although not a whole lot significant happened. It's a holiday time show. It's around Christmas, so not a whole lot significance going on. But it's always an entertaining show, match quality wise.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. So what I thought of Raw, a bit better than Hell in a Cell. Clearly better than Hell in a Cell.
It was the right way to come off of Hell in a Cell. It was a good post Hell in a Cell episode, I think.
So I'm gonna give it a thumbs up, Sam.
I give Hell in a Cell and Raw a 2, 3, 4, 5 as many thumbs as I wish I had. I would put all of them up for WWE right now.
You bloody.
To be honest, as much as people are complaining about this age of WWE.
I am.
Coming off of, you know, Randy Orton beating Daniel Bryan for the title.
I am.
Night of Champions, Battleground, Hell in a Cell. It's all been negative towards WWE. I'm a guy who likes a heel faction. I like vying for power and control. It's one of my favorite wrestling storylines, and that's what we're getting right now in WWE. The fan in me can't deny that WWE right now. It's my favorite. And I really like the spot that they're in.
You bloody
creatively.
Mark. You bloody.
I know.
Mark.
Say what you want.
So, what do you guys think? What do you guys think of Monday Night Raw? Tweet us again at After the Count. We want to get your opinions on both, like I said, Hell in a Cell and Monday Night Raw. And Sam, I think this was a much better successful show than last week.
Yeah, you know, we flattened out some of our technical issues.
Yeah, I mean, last week there is the episode, I tried to put it up, but the problem was there was sound issues. I mean, we tried connecting our music to this nice, beautiful DJ said, we have your buddy, you know, it blew everybody's ears out. And I'm sorry for that, guys. I don't know how this works. So please forgive me if I messed up your ears. Forgive me. But apart from that, we got everything going. We actually went over to 35 minutes, which I say was impressive.
Wow, nice. Well done. Eh? Goes by so fast.
You know, so that was our post-show Hell in a Cell Survivor Series in 3 weeks. For Sam Pierce, I'm Jose Tabuada. It's been a crazy week. We'll see how it goes the next 3 weeks. We will see you next week. See ya.
Bye.